is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. I'm your host for this hour, El Maya Hoshotara. You can find me on enlightenmentinthecity.com, and if you want to write in, you can write in to us at ontheair@tellus.net. So that's tell us with only one L, so tell us your problems, tell us your questions, but just one L because it's actually the name of a provider company out here. So we're going to do mailbag today, and let's see, oh, there's something I want to tell you about today. My mind's drawing a blank. So let's go through a little bit about falsehoods versus reality, even if it's above what you can tell yet. And this is really important when we're dealing with codependency. Sometimes people end up feeling so burned. It becomes a common habit to sort of like just throwing out their accusations in some cases, right, of like what people think is, you know, true. Sometimes it's derogatory, those sorts of things, because they just don't know and they're tired of not knowing. But when we're throwing out negatives, like the reason we call some things a negative action or negative behavior is usually because it's going to cause pain or it's going to cause problems in some way. And it's really important to understand that, like, when we don't know how to do something, it is when, especially when there's a lot of codependency, it is really common that people start to develop these behavioral patterns as coping mechanisms. And while we can understand that they're, you know, coping mechanism because, like, the mind likes to know what to do, right? So if you're used to feeling burned and you think people are always up to something, it makes sense that, you know, somebody's going to throw that out there that's going to be a negative or an accusation. The problem with it is, number one, it's not actually accurate, and accuracy is extraordinarily important. Number two, because there's always going to be the next level in everything. In interdependency, you support things that are healthy and serving, even if you don't do them yourself, even if you're not there yet. Because here's what causes some of the problems in codependency. If you're not there, okay. You know, in some cases, it's fine. It's not going to matter. Just because somebody has a problem with it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to matter. So, for example, if you don't know about some random snail in some part of the world that is not your area, or even in snails in general, unless you are in some sort of, you know, work environment where that is going to be extraordinarily important for you to know all these random facts about the snail, quite frankly, it's not really going to make a difference in your life. And is that true? Absolutely. So there are things that, you know, you're just not going to know about, and they're just not really going to matter. But when people in codependency, when there's a lot of it, when self-preservation, when importance comes from, you know, knowing something that somebody doesn't, sometimes people use that as a way to sort of like make themselves bigger, by bashing you to make you smaller about things that, you know, it really wouldn't make sense that you would have known unless you happen to be, you know, studying snails for some reason. So there's this way to sort of like gain importance that's really not very serving. And, you know, or sometimes people use that because they, you know, a lot of people have been like, snails, why are you into snails? Ooh, like so boring. You know, and then they use it to sort of like lord it over other people as a way to like gain self-esteem back. And none of those things are going to be very serving, because in one form or another, it's just the ego and holding it against somebody else, or, you know, bashing somebody else energetically. So an interdependency, you know, if you're running into somebody who really likes snails, great. Is there a reason to really like snails or to understand different types of snails? Yeah. I mean, you know, they eat escargot around the world, which is snails. yummy if you like it, you know. So, you know, and for some people it's been part of their, you know, their culture. Fine, you know, great. So there's not a reason to be obnoxious about the fact that somebody likes certain things, even if it's not your jam. And there's no reason to be ignorant if people don't know about those things, even if it really is, you know, really important to you, or even if you're really fascinated by it. And if we take out, you know, the whacking of the, you know, knowing or not knowing out of the situation, it would be a lot easier to get along with people. And you find that more in interdependency than you're going to find that in codependency. Because in codependency, people are used to people taking their stuff out on them all the time, because in codependency, people get very frustrated, so they start to take their stuff out on people. So even for people who do that, you know, again, they're on the receiving end of it. And it's just a very, very hard way to live. And you can also instigate other people pulling their stuff, taking their stuff out on you if you're taking them out on them first, right? So if somebody's taking it out on you for no good reason, are you going to clap back at that? In a lot of cases, yes. In some cases, maybe not. But it, in the very least, it doesn't really make sense that you're going to sit there and let somebody grind into your energy. So, you know, affirm nope. Or, you know, walking away, because if you don't know the person and they're just showing they're attacking, then self-preservation comes in the form of rejection. Because in some cases, if you are dealing with somebody who has no self-control, has little self-control, is not interested in helping self-control, they'll really go in for the kill about the fact that you do not know anything about snails, or that you do, neither of which matters. In interdependency, because people have enough of their stuff sorted out, it's a lot easier to, you know, say, oh, you know, like, that's really interesting. What do you do with your knowledge of snails? You know, what is that for? And it's not a threat or a criticism. In codependency, sometimes that can seem like that, when people are used to being under attack a lot. If you say to them, you're like, oh, well, tell me about snails. What brought about that interest? And they take offense to it, because they're used to being attacked about snails or attacked about other things that they've been interested in. In interdependency, you know, it's good to be curious about your environment. Now, does that mean you're always going to have the same interests? No. But there does come a time, though, that sometimes the things that you're interested in, especially when you're younger, that don't make sense to anybody else, actually end up playing a part of your path later on. Now, is this going to be true for every single last thing that's out there? No. But as an example, I've always been really, not anymore so much. I used to really, really, really hardcore, especially when I first got married, and I was excited about being a wife. You know, I'd really be into reading cookbooks, reading. And here's the thing. There was a meme on Facebook that said, the person that likes to shop for food appears to be a different person than the person that actually has to cook the food. And that is me in a freaking nutshell. I love farmers markets. I love trying new things. Together, yeah, I'm kind of at a bit of a loss. And I can cook. But, you know, I'm not as good of a cook as a lot of other people, or maybe not a lot, but I'm definitely not as good of a cook as some people. So, you know, sometimes, like, my creativity gets ahead of, you know, what I'm actually going to produce, or what I actually have an interest in producing. But reading cookbooks, man, you know, I could really get into that, you know, in the creation of it, and like imagine all these yummy things to eat. I get inspired about what to make for dinner. Doesn't mean I'd actually put that on the table. Sometimes yes, a lot of times no. But man, was I sure excited. So what would be the purpose of that if I'm not actually doing it? Well, my interest in recipes actually got me to read more recipes. And then as I wanted to change my diet and start taking on healthier and healthier foods, because I started reading about vegetarian, and there were some books I was coming across in the beginning were really, really horrible, disgusting vegetarian books. And, like, I mean, I'm talking, like, if you can eat tamari, good for you. For me, tamari, which is, like, a type of soy sauce, was, like, oh, my God, the worst tasting thing ever. If you can do it, great. I was not that person, and they're talking about making a sauce by taking the tamari. And, you know, for health benefits, you know, you want a little bit of acidity in there. Okay, take a fizzy vitamin C tablet and drop that in. Ugh, what the fudge nuggets. And because I hadn't had experience with healthy food to that degree about, like, you know, packing nutrients in, I tried it. It was the most disgusting thing ever. but I tried it. but as I started what got me actually into eating healthier and then being able to eat for nutrients and to guide and steer health that way was actually reading recipes after recipes after recipes, and then finding healthier recipes that would gear you towards nutrition, but that they actually tasted good. And that mix started getting me more into looking at what other foods would, you know, as an example, it's been a long time, so this may not be exactly accurate, but it sort of like got me into more recipes, which got me into looking at what other foods are going to help with certain health problems. That got me into supplementation, you know, and then by supplementation, then I started really being able to, you know, gear my health towards where I wanted to go. And then I started discovering more and more about the body, you know, and it really snowballed into eventually, you know, I discovered visceral manipulation, which I talk a lot about on the show. I, you know, about different organs, the effects that it has on personality, the whole nine yards. So it has really, really served me at the starting point of reading cookbooks, you know, and why doesn't, you know, spirit just put you in exactly that way? Because it doesn't always work that way, because sometimes if you're getting dropped into something directly, sometimes you're just not going to have an interest in it. And sometimes it's that way of building things up helps change. Because if I just went right into, you know, visceral manipulation and I actually had somebody tell me about it a long time ago, but I was like, what the heck is that? I didn't understand it. Somebody explained it once. It sounded like a good idea, but I never really got there. You know, eating for health, I had people say things like, you know, I think you're allergic to wheat. Why do you think that? You have bags under your eyes. Okay. I didn't understand about allergies at that point, even though I had suffered from allergies since I was 9 years old. I didn't understand that, but the more that I got into food, eventually I found I found stuff about allergies, and then when I went on an elimination diet, the bags under my eyes went away, and now I understand that when you have bags under your eyes, especially when you see it in small children, it can be because you're dealing with somebody who's got allergies, and those allergies can really have an effect and a toll on the body, more so than just the fact that there's bags under their eyes, you know, because I had like extraordinarily strong hay fever, which is where you're allergic to, you know, in my case, basically vegetation, camping nightmare, you know, trees, flowers, grass, weeds, pollen, I mean, the whole nine yards, I'm allergic to it. And when I went off of potatoes and let my body heal, I was able to go back on potatoes and not have hay fever, and even though I had suffered for months of it every year. So all these things came about from, you know, my desire to learn cookbooks, and I got so much more out of it than I would have if I had just, like, gone straight to this sort of manipulation alone. Maybe I could have, you know, found these other things otherwise. But I also found a lot of things that I needed to find that were good and beneficial for me to find. So in interdependency, you know, this is part of the reason why it's important to respect other people's paths. And even if something doesn't make sense to you, or even if it seems like a waste of time, because for some people, like, well, if you're not going to cook, there's no point in reading a cookbook. But there are certain things that they give you so much pleasure. And even if you're using it to try to, you know, create more variety in your diet, which is another reason why, you know, cookbooks are really good for me, even if it doesn't look exactly what the end result is going to be, there are certain things to your path that are going to be very private that are going to turn out in certain ways. So you don't interfere with them, because you could actually be interfering with the way that it's turning out for somebody else. Just because you have an idea that it should go a different way. And this is also why it's important when, you know, people are getting in there with the knives, which is very common in codependency, you know, you shouldn't be doing it this way, you shouldn't be doing it that way, I want it to happen this way, I want it to happen that way, whack, 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 whack. that's why you also have a right to protect yourself and say, like, no, this, you know, this habit may not make sense to you, I enjoy it, it doesn't create harm to anybody else. Well, you're wasting your time. Well, you don't actually know that, which is really interesting. And sometimes people, originally I got to cookbooks because I was trying to, you know, get myself to eat healthier, and it didn't work with the recipes in the book, funnily enough, but it did help me to increase the health of my diet overall, just in different ways as opposed to me actually cooking it, which is really interesting. So, and I still have some really amazing cookbooks, and I don't eat a lot of the things that are in them because I, generally speaking, don't eat a ton of wheat. so there goes that, but they still serve their purpose. So when we're looking at, you know, an interdependency of about, you know, being supportive of different things, even though they don't make sense. There's a difference between it not making sense to you versus it actually being harmful, and that's really important to understand, because the only way you can really say that somebody's not wasting their time is to say that you know the end result of whether that specific habit that they have is not going to produce an end result or a lot of results on the way that are actually going to be very, very serving for the person to have. And, you know, the ego gets in there, I knew about your life, even though I didn't know you at all, but I have the right to make judgment decisions on you, you know. Those sorts of things all sort of like come into play. So it's important to be open. And open doesn't mean that you're taking on things that are going to be bad and unserving for you. It's just that there's a lot more to the story, like a huge amount to the story, more, which makes it so that, you know, you don't really have a right to, you know, get in there and interfere in anybody else's life, and nobody else in codependency has a right to get in there in your life and, you know, like run crazy, like, you know, a batting, one of those thing machines that like shoots baseballs everywhere. You know, they don't have a right to come into your life and just do it and just poop all over your life, basically. And so as a result, interdependency, you support the things, and you're not making a big deal out of them, because they're not, in a lot of cases, they're not a big deal until somebody decides to make a big deal out of them, until somebody decides to go wackety, wackety, whack energetically, or try to take a chunk out of somebody, you know, or lord it over them. It, generally speaking, a lot of the habits that people have, well, there are certain areas where you may want to do more of, and increasing certain habits in certain areas will help those certain areas go better, which is why you want to follow them along. Even people who are very, very, you know, far along, let's say business, will still make mistakes because they don't, if they're like, no, I know better than you, and they're not listening because they're not aware of the other things that the person has in store for them, either overall, even though it doesn't directly relate to a business goal, or even though they don't know necessarily what it is now. So you do have to, you know, be open to the fact that people are going to do things that, you know, don't seem like it's, you know, the best way to spend your time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a waste of time either. And this is one of the ways, you know, it's so important to understand that, but, you know, like when, like this idea of judgment, judgment comes more from like when people don't understand, or when they think, but they don't understand the whole story, or don't want to understand the whole story, or just, you know, completely ignoring facts, you know, just to hold it over people. All those sorts of things really, really need to go. And they're all the things that make codependency harder. And again, it's just one more thing that makes it easier to get along in interdependency, because, you know, everybody's got a little bit of a habit that's less so, you know, people make excuses for it. But they don't necessarily need to be that big of a deal. And if we understood that and stopped trying to take people off path, there'd be, especially with the wackety, 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 there would like instantaneously be just far less suffering on the world in general if everybody was on board with that. You know, in codependency, of course, you find more of it, which is interesting. But it doesn't have to be that way. And life's always better when we, you know, support the healthy stuff, especially the healthy stuff, even when we don't do it, and leave some leeway as well for people to be human, which is very different than the codependency. You know, oh, look, they're doing a bunch of really horrible things. Well, I should be non-judgmental and take it with that person. And, you know, they're running all over in your life, creating a lot of problems. Totally different things. Serenity Mailbag here today, and let's see here. So Rhonda in the UK, she wants to know if, hold on a moment here. So she wants to know if it's in her highest good to stay in her current relationship. One moment here, Rhonda. So, Rhonda, the growth that you're going to do, you're pretty much going to do. It doesn't matter whether you stay in your Well, okay, they don't want me to say it's not going to matter whether you stay in your relationship or not. That doesn't feel very good. But you are on a growth path, which is really excellent. So congratulations with that. Let's see here. One of the things is because you're not happy in the relationship, you know, and because there's like, you know, you do have a good eye for noticing what's wrong. It seems like that's going to sort of like take up a lot of your focus, which is to say like, you know, oh, your partner's doing that wrong. Your partner's doing that. They're doing that. They're doing that. And that can actually take you out of things that are going to be more beneficial. I do want to be, hold on here. Okay, so interesting. So normally when I see people with the energy pattern, hold on here, hold on. So normally when I see people with the energy patterns that I'm seeing here, usually what will happen is a person will leave and then they'll get very upset because it becomes, you know, like, oh, what are they going to do, you know, and they go back and they repeat the patterns again because they just sort of like get, you know, lonely, horny, whatever. And they're like, oh, look, I'm going to, you know, they're going to go and repeat that pattern again. But in this case, it does seem like that's not quite a possibility. And that's very, very unusual. So it does look like it, you know, they're not letting me say like it's going to be in your highest good to, you know, stay or leave. They're not saying that one way or another, but it does seem like there are going to be other things that would be more beneficial for you to focus on. And it doesn't seem like that hardship that can sometimes kick in where people are like, oh, I left, you know, they really wish that they had stayed with somebody that they really didn't want anyways. It doesn't seem like that's going to be a pattern that's going to be popping up. And that's, you know, very, very rare and very unusual. That being said, one of the things that I would do is I would call Jean on Mondays. I think she's 2 p.m. PST. I would give her a call and talk to her about like entity removal, just seeing if there's anything in there as well. I always suggest when you're listening to Jean, take a pen and a paper and then use her techniques to help keep clearing entities because see if that's a problem. If it's not an entity thing, then I would really suggest talking to somebody who deals with trauma because it's usually one of the two why I get that, why I get an energy pattern that I'm seeing in there. So thank you so much for writing in. In one moment, everybody else, just going to have to clear the energy here. One moment. And then, okay, so we have Cheryl in Winnipeg. She wants to see if I see a move in her path this year. So one moment, Cheryl in Winnipeg. I love Winnipeggers. There's a lot of Winnipeggers out on the West Coast, I have to tell you that. Let's see here. Oh, not supposed to tell you that. Okay, never mind. Ignore that one. Let's see here. Cheryl in Winnipeg. Yeah, actually, pretty quickly, you could definitely make that happen if you wanted to. I'm not saying you get past Alberta, though. It does seem like if you're looking for a move, east tends to look a little bit better. East may take a little bit longer, but it's going to be more beneficial to check into that as opposed to just, you know, deciding to move and taking that on too quickly. Let's see here. Hold on. So it's definitely like not the East Coast would not be beneficial, but a little bit more towards East would actually be really good for you. So more like could be as late as November, could be next year. Let's see here. So what would help that along is to actually just go on a little road trip and do some exploring. It's looking like you should be able to recognize when you are driving to say like, oh, this seems like a really good place and you could see yourself living there. That would be a really good idea if you want to come back and send names and, you know, like say, hey, you know, this is Cheryl from Winnipeg. You know, if I move here, you know, and give me your list and I'll read that out on the air for you and let you know. But there is definitely something that would work a lot better for you. So thank you so much for writing in. One moment here. Okay, we have Dennis in New Zealand. Hold on. And Dennis in New Zealand, he'd love to get a reading on a potential relationship coming in anytime soon. One moment. So, Dennis, for a lot of people, this is a time period for work, calling for the inner work. I do see a potential relationship coming in. I don't think you're going to like them, and I don't think you're going to be very nice to them. Here's the thing. You have to be able to... You have to have a relationship work that's going to be one that you're going to like. You have to have the capacity to actually be able to be in it, get who you actually want, which I'm assuming that you already know, but you also have to have the capacity to deal with that. And there's a lot more like, so for example, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm not saying it isn't you, they're not giving me an answer to that, but for an example, sometimes you'll see somebody and they're like, hey, you know, they need a new job, and you're like, great, you know, go work over there. It's great. You know, everybody's so nice, they don't put up with drama, and they just kind of like go, and that kind of freaks them out because they're still very embroiled in the drama because they know that they don't have the capacity to be able to hold being nice to somebody for a very long time period, and that is one of the effects that having certain traumas in the body, having certain side effects from what people go through held in the body, that is one of the side effects that can happen. And visceral manipulation, as an example, they also want me to tell you therapy, but I would actually suggest both because it isn't, sometimes people think therapy is about you know, you tell people all your problems, they give you a bunch of skill sets, they don't really work anyways, and nothing really works. And the visceral manipulation, you do want to look for somebody who does deal with trauma. That can actually help the underlying, because there are side effects from what happens in the body that can affect personality and capacity. And how long somebody is going to be able to be nice to somebody is definitely one of the things that it can affect. We understand usually now about the liver and anger. Having issues with the gallbladder can have people be more irritated more easily. That can happen. There can be, you know, nerves around the ribs. Somebody else said the heart. I don't know if they're talking about the same thing. But those can have issues with fight or flight, which means, you know, you're going to have somebody who's going to be more annoyed. And the things when you're dealing with the physical stuff, there's only going to be so much that you're going to be able to do on your own with those things not working properly. But when they're moving properly in the body, then it becomes a lot easier for people who want to be able to make the changes and get a handle on it. Then they'll be able to do that a little bit easier. So going through those processes, I do see a relationship being able to come in for you, and it does look like it's going to be happy, at least for the first while. Okay, it looked a lot better than the previous person, which was good. Let's see here. And so for therapy, I would really suggest somatic. Somebody does the somatic stuff and has a history of dealing with trauma because it's just the way that things fit in the body. And these are, you know, side effects that do come to some degree. Some of them are behavioral habits, and that comes in there as well. They're not letting me tell you which one it is. They're just saying, nope, just tell them go. But, yeah, as it stands, I keep seeing that your patterns of what you're going through keep causing problems, which, you know, maybe you're aware of, maybe you just think it's, you know, all women are problems. But that's not the case, right? Because, I mean, you've seen women who are like, you know, it's not their fault, it's not their fault. And you're like, well, you just did this, 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 and this. And you know very well that when we see it in other people, you know, actions, what they do and what they have the capacity to do, even though you may not understand that, will definitely have an effect on how well they're able to get along with in the world. And we usually understand that easier in other people than we do understand in self. But it can also, you know, I don't understand. They're not showing me like how self-aware you are, but there are definitely things going on that I think you think you're self-aware on. And that happens with anger. You know, you sometimes see people who are like really, really angry and they're not angry. It's just the world full of a bunch of suckers, you know? And what happens is a lot of people, they have those sorts of angers, but they don't realize it because they've been living with it for so long, or something happens that it ends up creeping up on them. So, you know, one good, you know, how do we tell if there's a lot of anger? You keep getting in relationships and you can't stand the person. That's one good example of somebody who's dealing with a lot of anger, even if they don't realize it. You know, again, it's a lot easier to, you know, live in the world when you don't have those problems, and it's a lot harder to live in the world when you do. So, you know, I wish I could see that, you know, the things that I was saying were landing, were making sense. I'm not getting that a whole lot. So, you know, I really wish you the best of luck, but, you know, whenever you decide that you would, you know, like an easier time in the world, then those are two things to check out, would be a therapist with somatic training, self-development, which is why you wrote in here, but also the thrill manipulation, and you want to look for somebody who's done it enough that they're dealing with neural manipulation as well as looking for somebody who deals with a lot of trauma. So good luck with that. And let's see here, just a moment, I'm going to change energies. So we have Teresa in Chicago, and she wants to know if there's a way to tune in to see what intuitive gifts she has that she hasn't discovered yet. Okay, one moment here. Teresa in Chicago. Okay, so Teresa, you know, sometimes people really want to see the good in life, and that's great. but sometimes, you know, when things aren't that great, if you're sort of like overglazing them to see the positive, that actually can really interfere with your ability to see what's actually there, and that's, and being able to actually be in reality with what is what helps you to pick up your intuition more and more and more. So, you know, there's got to, the advanced practitioner really has a deep level of honesty. In the beginning, you know, it's good to say, like, look on, you know, look on the bright side of things, but it's never meant to be like, look at the bright side of things, ignore what's going on, because that's going to make you deeper. It's about searching for what's actually there. So as an example, let's say you and I are going out for tea, and they have chamomile tea, and you order one and you think it's delicious. I order one and wait, no, I don't order one because I don't like chamomile tea. you know, because for me, when I drink chamomile tea, it's got this weird, I find flower teas have like sort of like a weird sensation in the way that like the tea hangs in the water, doesn't steep very well. And it tends to make me a little sick. And it tends to make me a little sick because I'm allergic to pollen. I'm allergic to like some different flowers. And putting them in tea really actually makes me sick. Now, if you have the same problem, but you love flowers, and I love flowers. I love flowers. I have to be careful which ones I have in the house, especially in my office. But I love flowers. But I just can't drink them in tea. And there's certain flowers that I can't have in a vase on my desk because it's going to make me sick because I'm too allergic to them. If you have the same problems, but you love flowers and you're ignoring that and saying, chamomile tea is great, but you always feel a little weird in the tummy, you can absolutely love flowers without having to drink them. So you don't have to drink chamomile tea just because you really love flowers. You don't have to drink a lot of different teas just because you really love flowers. And being willing to acknowledge these things that, like, actually, you know, I don't like, you know, you don't like chamomile tea, or maybe you really do, and maybe it's very hard for you to admit you like it, because I don't tend to like it, because, you know, we tend to not like some certain things, even though they're healthy, when we're allergic to them. So whatever it looks like for you, having those, you know, sometimes it's really small like that, but willing to be in that reality to say, this really isn't working for me. That is part, that's not being negative. It's just being in reality of what is, because, you know, intuition, it's being able to pick up on certain things, but it's also having that ability to be able to listen to the world around you. And sometimes it's listening to yourself, but if you're overriding yourself on even small things where it really won't make a difference, such as what kind of tea you like, if, for example, you wanted to get along with me, so you were saying you didn't like chamomile tea, even though you really do, if it would be very hard for you to admit that you like chamomile tea because you were worried that I wouldn't like you or something, number one, I would still like you if you like chamomile tea. That's not going to change my opinion of you at all. But for somebody who's very nervous about that, that, you know, things that really don't make a difference are going to somehow be deal breakers, then having the strength and the fortitude to like things that other people may not like because they're healthy and they're good for you to like, that too is another part of having that listening and that deeper intuition to be willing to pay attention to the things that are going on that allows you to listen deeper. And, you know, it's like in terms of, you know, sometimes we notice that somebody's, we don't know whether we like, and sometimes it's sitting in that, I don't know. Sometimes you notice somebody's a little off. Okay. Then you're sitting there, okay, sometimes they're a little off. Does it mean they're off all the time? Not necessarily. Can they still have some good points of them? Absolutely. But it's not about ignoring, especially if your warning signs are flaring, it's not about ignoring your warning signs and saying, like, I'm a good person. I notice all the beauty in them, but I can't notice the negative things. And I know that you still can notice both. It's just about helping you to pick up that, say you like chamomile tea too, and they have chamomile tea. And they like chamomile tea too. You can say, wow, you know, they've got really great taste in teas. Cool. And yet still completely and absolutely want to stay away from them because maybe they're a little bit too creepy for you, right? And that doesn't make you a bad person. It just means you're listening to your warning signs. So when is it, you know, when do we need to look at the bright side? It's not so much the bright side, but sometimes like when people have a lot of hardship, you know, they're going to be like, not notice that the person likes chamomile tea as well. And so they don't want to admit that they have anything in common with somebody who's very, very negative. And it's like, oh, look at the bright side. They like the same type of tea as you. They can't be all bad. But liking the same type of tea as you is different than not being all bad. So, you know, it's not anything to do. And if you're, you know, if they like the same kind of tea as you and your warning signs are flaring off, you listen to the warning signs because your warning signs are going to be more important than whether they like the same type of tea as you. Now, if you see somebody across the room and you're like, wow, they seem really nice. I think I might like to be friends with them. I'd love to say hi to them. Oh, look, they have a chamomile tea too. And you're really excited that you have that in common and you're seeing that beauty. Then that's a good thing to follow up. Now, will it always pan out? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes you're going to be, you know, repeating an old pattern. Either way, it's okay. You know, sometimes you're there to learn, and sometimes it's like, wow, I did the practice of meeting, of going towards somebody that I thought I was really going to like, and I got in practice at that, even if it didn't turn out. And being in the reality of that, when the reality is actually there for you, that's a reason why we, quote unquote, look at the bright side. It's not the negative. It's just to help you get in touch with what's actually there. And doing that because, you know, as Nicole, a lovely founder, likes to say, you know, you get little breadcrumbs, right? You get these little trails, and there's a lot of learning that can come with them. So it's really, really beneficial to, you know, follow those things and follow different ideas of self-development, you know, spirituality that are out there. It's just about doing them in a way that's actually going to be beneficial and healthy. And that can really help to open up your being able to hear more, see more, understand more, and you'll just start getting things. So, you know, and if somebody else doesn't get what you see, that's okay, because everybody sees something different. Not everybody has the same warning signs as you. Not everybody has the capability. That's important to understand. They actually just don't have the capability currently to be able to see things in terms of like, oh, that person's, you know, firing off your warning signs. And not everybody has the capability. And I know sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, you know, they don't have the capability, ew, you know, and they use that as an excuse to go wackety, wackety, whack on somebody. So we're not talking about using this to, you know, be derogatory and tear people down, because that's not what it's about. It's that literally some people just actually don't have the capacity to be able to tell who's going to be bad for them to hang out with, so that somebody's going to be too toxic or abusive. They just don't have that capacity. So when you see that you like something and other people don't get it, if you see the value first, that's great. Not everybody has to understand that. If you have a warning sign before somebody else, that's great. It's good to understand what the warning signs are, but everybody's warning signs and their capability with it will be different. So it's just about being in that reality. And, you know, from there, it does make it a lot easier to be able to see. Now, I know you're probably hoping that it's going to give you some sort of profound way to recognize it. But it's a really important exercise in just self-attuning and listening to self and sorting out, like, what's actually true versus what's, you know, maybe some idea that somebody told you that you have to follow in order to be a good person. Because usually, especially when you're dealing with, like, mainstream self-development, there's a lot of mainstream misinterpretations of it. And it doesn't mean that everybody's got it wrong. Is that true? No, absolutely not. But when you start hearing of things like you're supposed to gloss over reality, sometimes that's a warning sign. Sometimes you want to pay attention to that because people, if they have had too many negative experiences, they say, you know, if they're not looking at the negative in every moment, they're not being in reality, which is so not true. And that would be an example of somebody who needs help working with the positives. So basically, you know, and they're just basically, the end result in a nutshell is that you're glazing over noticing what is too much. You're not paying attention and saying like, wow, that actually doesn't feel good. And if you're not sure, it's equally as important to sit in the place where like you're not sure. And sometimes that can be a really, really funny place. It can be very aggravating for some people to sit in that, I don't know one way or another. And getting used to the unknowing, you're getting used to the unknown in that moment, and that's a very important vital practice as well, because you don't want to invent things that aren't there, either more positive or more negative. You want to just have the capacity to see things as they actually are. And when you see a positive, then great, you run with that. So let's see here. We have, we're almost at the top of the hour here. I see we have Annie, my Annie.
Hello. I come here as often as I can.
Good.
Sometimes
we're
I listen to you on the rerun. Yeah. We are better this week, much better.
Yay!
Me and my daughter are much better. We were like saying, if we died now, we wouldn't care. That's how bad it was. But we're recovering,
wow.
So that helped. Yeah, it was pretty painful, and it was pretty sympathetic, you know, that we had the same symptoms. Probably different ailments, but they manifested exactly the same.
Right.
Very interesting. She hadn't been anywhere near me, which was, you know, she couldn't have caught anything. I couldn't have caught anything. But I probably should be asking a question of, have I met my spiritual goals for this life? And if I'm, what else am I supposed to be doing?
Okay, so Annie, normally, you know, if it was be like, you know, run a 10K and that was somebody's ultimate goal, then I would say like, yes, you've done that. But for you, we've established a lot that this is a lifetime of learning for you. So it's kind of like asking if you've met your spiritual goals. If we were to put this like in a cartoon where there's a wizard who lives in a cave and you go into the cave and it's all magical and sparkly, and it's like, there's just so much there. Like, nobody's going to be able to learn every single thing about the entire universe, you know, all in one go. And you wouldn't really count that as like a goal that would have an end to it. It's just absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. So if we were to put it another way, like, you know, have you done a good job this lifetime? Yes, absolutely. You did a good job. And I think that's the most important thing, because you're one of the people, let's see here, hold on. Yeah, you're one of the people that was meant to take on, like, you know, a lot of work for this lifetime, but it was like more, it's interesting that you use the word spiritual goals, because that's what they're saying too. It was more the goal to be spiritual than it was for anything else. So, and they're like, you're doing that, but it's an ongoing process. I hope that makes sense, because I don't quite know how else to explain it.
It does, because we're always a work in progress.
Yeah.
Always.
And I mean, that's true for everybody. I mean, some people are here to get like a lot of lifetimes done. I definitely was here to get a lot of lifetimes done in one lifetime. but with you, it's like, they're not putting it in those terms. They're just saying like, they're just showing like basically going into, yeah, just like, just being sort of like the wizard with all the magic flowing around it. And then like sitting in the, you know, in the purple mist and being like, you know, have I accomplished this? It's like, you don't ask the question while you're in the mist, is basically how they're putting it.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
It's ongoing.
Yeah. Well, it's ongoing, but it's not like, it's sort of like it is what it is, but it's a lot more so than that, because like to say it's ongoing, it's like there, it kind of can sound like, you know, there's still room for improvement. And I totally believe that. But with you, it's not even about, there's more to it than that. It's just about you sitting in the mist absorbing. Like, it's just like, that's all there is, and that's all that there needs to be. Like, you know, there's not, there's other adventures you can have, but when you're sitting in the purple mist, like, what more do you need?
Good.
And I think, I don't know if those are the mists of Avalon or something. Somebody's told me about, like, purple light, but it's definitely coming in very, very purple. So you can, like, Google that and see. I don't know much about that, but they're definitely showing
favorite
light.
Color. Yeah, favorite color.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, favorite color.
Yay.
And I just have one other quick question. I'm holding an rental application, and this seems to be one of the few opportunities that I think might be available. I'm just wondering if this is something I should pursue.
Okay, and okay, can you give me the first letter of the street? Just the letter.
B.
B, okay. Okay, so it's like inside the house is like fine, and it actually looks really good. And I'm like, woohoo, we finally did it. But as soon as you step outside, I get like, there was a song, I don't want to sing that one over the radio. basically, living in the tough neighborhood, tough, tough, tough. And it's like, yeah, not so good outside. And like really, really hardcore. Like I kind of jumped a little bit at the amount of intensity that came up with the things that were going on around there. So it's like, as long as you don't leave the house, it's great. But yeah, no, like just, really, really, as soon as you head out, one moment here. There's like a lot of big energies, like really, really big and really, really negative.
Well, this, it's in the midst of a university.
Say that again?
It's an odd place. It's in the midst of a university. Frat houses.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, frat houses. I mean, you've got kids drinking beer. I mean, there's like pranks and stuff like that, but there's like, yeah, it would be more like, you know, what are people trying to sell at the, I don't want to quite say what people would be trying to sell at the campus, but, Yeah, it's just, you know, you got to kind of, sometimes you really got to watch when there's like a lot of young people involved. And I want to be clear when I'm saying that there's a lot of really, really good young people. This is not about, ooh, be careful of young people. But it's because a lot of people come in to be very predatory when there's a lot of young people around.
Yes.
So you kind of got to watch out for that, about like what's flowing through and that sort of thing. Like they're not showing me like as negative as what I was saying it would be. I kind of don't want to name names of cities or neighborhoods that are famous, but it would be like more the vibe of dropping you in certain neighborhoods that are famous for being rough neighborhoods. Kind of vibe,
okay,
like
I,
really, really
yeah,
strong.
I know a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this isn't the worst, but I'm just thinking, since my daughter will be moving too, I think there's another opportunity. I might actually be with her, so we'll see, which I think is more likely, but no decisions have been made.
Right. Okay, and that's definitely an option. You know, always hear every single week, well, we can go through every single address that they have for you if you want. Hey, you've been on the show since, like, I've been on in the beginning, I think, so we can do that for you. So yeah, come with your list and we'll check things out. But I am very happy for you, because at least the inside, that's the best that I've ever seen you pick a place. Like, hands down, the best I've ever seen you pick a place. And really, really good inside. It's just, we need you to be able to obviously walk around without getting whacked, literally.
Yeah. And I worry more about him getting whacked than me ever getting whacked.
Yeah, maybe not a good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, you know, really, really good inside. But so if you can figure out a way, like when you're in the place, the positives that you're getting in there, if you can find a place that matches that inside or outside, that would be a good place to pay attention to, and then seeing what else is going on.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I've been trying to do that, and that's the Northwest, so I intend to keep going. That's far Northwest, but I'm wondering if close Northwest would be better.
Okay, one moment here. So you're either going to be closer, or you're going to be really, 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 really far Northwest.
Okay.
So it's like,
not as far as Vancouver, though.
Let's see here. No, you'd probably find Vancouver to be a little bit cold. Hold on. Let's see. Seattle's actually not. It's not like 100%, but it's a little bit better than some of the other places, for sure. But I get a funny feeling in my tummy about it. Let's see here. I need a map. I keep saying as it keeps coming up. Let's see. So I don't know how far Portland is, but like if you are on the West Coast. Definitely north of Portland, but not quite Seattle. Maybe about a little bit closer to Portland, maybe on the halfway mark. There's an area in there that would actually work really well for you. And then that's when I start getting the energy again, except for instead of like the purple mist, I get like yellow. I get like white and yellow. And really, really good. Like that's when we start getting that, like, going through your being, like when you're sitting in the purple mists. And that's, I mean, this is the only time I've ever gotten a reading for you in terms of you sitting in there and getting the mist like that. Usually it's kind of a bit, more hit and miss. But there would definitely be something that's more along on the West Coast or a little bit closer to it, that would definitely be very beneficial for you. Let's see here. And Ben would be happier there too, which is interesting. I can get him a lot happier than I've ever seen, because in the past, I know we've done readings where it's been like, it's going to either have to be you or it's going to have to be him. It was really hard to get things to work for both of you. But there's definitely an area on the West Coast where, or closer to it, where it would really work for you. Ben would be a lot happier, probably happier than he's ever been. It would be good for your daughter as well. So that would actually be something to really consider. It seems like there's an area that would be really, really good for your family.
Oh, wonderful. Well, she wanted to go to Portugal, and so I says, no, stay out of Europe. And consider it. I mean, she's all over the world, so literally she travels all over the world. So we'll have to take a little trip. But it's like 3 minutes to the top of the hour.
Yes, I know. Nicole said I could do a little bit. I could go a little bit over because it's you, so we can do that. But, yeah, so Portugal, I understand why your daughter wouldn't want to go to Portugal because, you know, she gets, like, she does get some of that, like, yellow energy that I see in you being along the coast. She does get a little bit of that in Portugal. But I see her actually being happier on that area on the West Coast that I'm talking about. There's definitely something there for you, for all three of you. You know, because I mean, hey, I understand why she'd want to go to Portugal. but yeah, there's definitely a place that it would work for all three of you. Portugal seems like it would be too hard on you. Ben would get along great there. You know, lots of drinking. So, it would be great. He'd have a great old time. Definitely be having a fun time, let me tell you that. But it does work better for you and your daughter, and he'd be having a really great time too on that spot on the West Coast, just a different kind of really good time.
Oh, that's good. I'll have to take a visit.
So, yes, road trip. And I'm hoping that you'll all be able to feel it. And, you know, I don't normally get told names, which is why I need a map. So feel free to, you know, run names by me next time. Come with your list.
I will. And it's good. I sort of didn't have a good feeling about this place, you know, that I have the application for. I mean, like, it's beautiful, but, you know, I don't know. It's too much, like you said, there's too much going on. I would be happy in a university setting. I could go to work. I could take classes, but I don't think it would be good for me. And I'd get involved in all that garbage, you know, so that's my nature.
I think what you said just sounds lovely. And again, you are on the path for knowledge, right? So it makes sense that you'd be attracted to taking classes and stuff like that. But, you know, with that undercurrent, you know, just doesn't seem like that's going to be the best fit. But thank you, Annie. And we are at the top of the hour, so I just let you go. So I will talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome. And thank you, everybody, for calling in. I'm sorry we weren't able to get to anybody else on the lines and mailbag. So thank you, everybody, for writing and calling in. Again, my name is Elmaya Hoshi-Amtara. You can find me here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. You can also find me on my website. That's enlightenmentinthecity.com. And again, for the show here, it's newsforthesoul.com. Thank you so much. I love you. Take care of yourselves, especially you, Annie. Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.